go with your gut and don't let anybody else tell you what you can and can't do. Because I felt like I was told that a lot when I was young. Like, no, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this. And as I grew and realized, like, what I had gone through, I just feel like nobody should really hold themselves back. I feel like I've accomplished a lot of stuff in my life that most people probably haven't. And like, there's no excuse why you can't really.
I am so excited to be chatting with Ashley McKillop in this episode. We're going to talk about what makes Ashley tick, literally. From life with congenital heart disease to now living life to the fullest at her own pace with sledding and motorcycles. So get ready for a jam-packed episode with our bionic babe, Ashley, and I'll see you guys on the other side. So hey, hi, and hello. I'm Anjali Sitt, your host for Brat Babes Throttle Talk. And today I'm so excited to be talking with Ashley. Oh my gosh, badass letter. And I have been waiting to do this for a very long time. So I'm so excited that you're joining me today.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start this off with a tiny introduction of who you are and where you're coming from today.
My name is Ashley, and I was born and raised in Kelowna, BC.
Cool. Yeah, born and raised, original, lived nowhere else, just Kelowna?
Just Kelowna, yeah.
Cool, awesome. Well, that's great. I always ask because, you know, sometimes we travel to the west, right? Lots of east comes to the west for sledding, so yeah.
I have a very big family, and I think only a few have left. My sister's the only one that's left and actually stayed in Alberta. Everybody else is still here on both sides, so it's really great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are going to just get right into it. So on social media, you're heavily involved with sledding and you also motorbike as well, which I want to kind of dive into as well. So I want to know, how long have you been sledding for?
I had a blow up sled when I was, I want to say, a year and a half, 2 years old. It was like a legit skidoo. And it blew up. It didn't go anywhere, but I'm pretty sure my dad just bought it because it said Skidoo. And then after that, he got my sister and I our first sled. I think I was around the age of maybe 7 or 8. And yeah, we rode till we were teens, just kind of went ice fishing and did trail stuff. And then I didn't get back into it till 2019.
Okay. So you grew up with it, basically. That's something that you did with your family.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. And where would your dad take you for ice fishing and stuff like that?
We would go to local lakes up in the mountains or where we lived, it was kind of outside of town. So if you would drive up, say, just before the ski hill, you could unload there and then actually travel across to where I live right now through all the back roads and stuff. So I'd say it took like probably an hour, which was quite a long time for us as kids, but we loved it and we knew the trails and how to get from A to B. So once we finally got to those places, we would just venture off and do our own thing.
Whoa, that's so cool. So would it be, when you talk about trails, it's not like, I know you're in Kelowna, so there is mountains, but is it like kind of mountain-esque or is it more of a flat trail?
Back in the day where we used to ride, it was basically like FSRs.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
That type of thing. It wasn't maintained or groomed or anything.
Okay.
It was just an area you could go. And like nowadays people go 4x4ing and stuff up there.
Right. So. Oh, that's really cool. So that's kind of where it like started for you, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah. So when you talk about a ski hill, is that Big White?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Just to put a point in the map, I guess, or location.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I also want to ask, how long have you been, is it called motorbiking? Like, I don't ever know, or is it just, how long have you been on your motorcycle ride?
This was my second season just this year.
Oh, cool.
And then, so my first year, I actually rode the Can-Am Ryker for Banner.
Okay.
So I did the course for the motorcycle. I had never ridden a motorcycle. I've never dirt biked. it was actually something I wasn't even interested in. My husband has a motorbike and he's like, oh, you want to get on the back? And I'm like, no, save your money. Don't even bother buying an extra seat. So, yeah, he rode for a couple years without me, and I would follow them in my vehicle and just like film whatever and make little videos out of it. But yeah, when the opportunity came up with Banner, I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then, yeah, I ended up loving it.
Absolutely. I feel that, or I look at it as like, you know, you have your winter sport sledding and it's like the throttle therapy, and then like motorcycle, like it might not be as like extreme or challenging. Like I'm sure it has its challenges, but just being free on the open road, I just think would give you such a different fulfillment in some way.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, really cool. And sorry, what kind of motorcycle do you have?
It's a 2012 48 Sportster 1200.
Cool. Really cool. Oh, that's awesome. And so I want to know is, well, I guess you touched on the motorcycle, how you got into it. So how did you get into sledding? Like when you came back, like what was your spark to come back into the sport?
So Joe had bought my dad's old 2008 Rev. So back in 2019, we were taking off to get married in Mexico, and it was one of the last days to snow check. So we randomly decided to go to Banner and check out the sleds, and then we both came out with new sleds that would arrive in the
Crazy.
fall.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it was
okay.
totally not planned at all, and then it's kind of just escalated from there.
I love it. So that's actually, yeah, something that my husband and I did. Instead of going actually on a honeymoon, we decided to put money towards sleds, or we just got one sled. And that was kind of like our honeymoon. So every time we went out, it was our day. But I love that. I love hearing that story.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you both got, so both of you got sleds.
Yeah, they were 2020s at the time.
Cool. Oh my gosh. And what size of track did you get?
I ended up going with the 154. It was a 600.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Is that the sled that Nadia has now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
She came from Squamish and picked it up.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Such a small world, hey?
I know, so small and getting smaller.
Yeah, it really is. I love it though. Okay, so a question that I've wanted to ask is, do you work for Banner, or are you, is this a type of partnership that you have with them?
Ask that all the time. People are like, yeah, can you order me up these parts? I'll come pick them up. I'm like, no, I can't. No, I do not work for Banner. I do lots of marketing and stuff with them. And they've really supported me over the years. So we kind of have a working thing together.
That's amazing. Do you live close to them? Because it does seem like you do so much marketing. So I was like, oh, you must work there for, you know, to make so much content. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
no, I just visit there very often.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, if I lived close by, I definitely would be popping in a lot more.
Yeah,
Oh, that's
it's fun. People are like, you're nuts, but it makes people laugh, so I like it.
yeah. Oh, I loved love your interview style one. I think you're holding like a fork.
I know, and when we started rolling, I'm like, "Okay, let's go." And Colin's like, "Oh, are you just gonna edit the fork out?" I'm like, "No, this is part of it." He's like, "Oh, okay."
It made me laugh. It's yeah, it was great. You have such like a knack for that. I love it.
No, I don't know how I don't laugh, but
Straight face. No, it's awesome. Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so another thing I wanted to talk about was your snowmobile club, which you mentioned in the beginning is what can you tell us about your role with the club? And it's called Kelowna Snowmobile Club, correct? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, if you don't mind telling us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, my dad was part of it way back when. He actually, when he graduated school, he was part of the EI program. So he actually went up and they put in majority of the trails up there, so he knows it like the back of his hand.
Wow.
So now, like when we go up there, we don't usually stick to the trails. We kind of venture off and do our own thing. But yeah, as the years went on, like I remember going to the chili run and the poker run and being involved in that as like a really small kid riding on the front, holding on to the mountain bar. And it was just like it was such a huge thing back there where there was like hundreds and hundreds of people. So as I was like looking back and we got more into the sledding, I was like, you know what, I want to be involved in the club and like I wanted to know what it entailed and how they actually ran and how we're able to have these areas to ride in. So Joe and myself joined the board. This is our third season. And then last year and this year I took the secretary role. But I mainly do like I'm in charge of the events and social media and stuff.
Oh, that's great. So awesome to be a part of a club and to see kind of behind the scenes, because a lot of sledders don't realize how much goes into the trails, into the backcountry. And I found it was such an eye-opener. I'm not on the board by any means, but I do attend the meetings. And yeah, it's incredible, incredible work.
It is, and every person has a job to do year round, no matter what it is.
Yes, for sure. Well, speaking of events, is there any events that you guys are planning for this year?
Yeah, we do have the poker run that's coming up on January 27th. That's up at our Three Forks staging area. So you ride Greystokes and collect your poker hands at each cabin. We have lots of awesome people coming out this year that's going to be attending as special guests and that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
The funds are going to go to BC Children's Hospital Cardiac Department again, and then the other part will be coming back into the Snowmobile Club.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so yeah, the poker run, and then if you have anything else.
Yeah, then we have the ladies ride, which we're going to do in a one-day event on February 24th. So it'll be beginner, intermediate, advanced, and then we'll all have lunch and stuff and should be a good time.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that was something if you had planned, because I remember seeing like the last couple of years you've been putting that on, right?
Yeah, we did last year. We tried it for the first time and we did different days. So the one day was beginner and then the next time was intermediate. And I just feel like everyone should ride together in one day. You can meet more people, and it's just, I don't know where I was going with that, but
Yeah, it's all good. Maybe like inclusive, everyone's just kind of there to learn from each other, or
totally.
No, I feel you. And it's also, I don't know if you feel this way, but it's a lot of work putting on these events. And so I'm sure that kind of alleviates or relieves another day of planning.
Totally, yeah. It's a lot of work, but we also get a lot of support, so it's awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's so awesome. So that with that, the women's ride is February 24th.
24th. Yeah.
24th. Okay. So for those of you listening in, make sure to go to Kelowna. Is there a way to sign up, or?
Yeah, registration will be open beginning of February, so just watch our socials, Kelowna Snowmobile Club on Instagram or Kelowna Snowmobile Club info page on Facebook.
Perfect. And I'll add those links too once you have that all ready to go.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. All right. And something I'm gonna, so we're gonna shift to another subject. So one shorty to another shorty. I feel you and I see you. I want to bring this up because I feel that a lot of us can relate when it comes to height. Everyone's bodies, we're all unique. And I believe that you're the first person that I've had on the show that's like a similar height to me. And I also believe that customizing our rides is just so important. It's a must. So I want to know, for those that don't know, I want to know your height. And I also want to know what modifications you have done to your ride to make it fit to you.
On a good day, I'm 4'11". When I graduated in the yearbook, it said, I think one of the goals is like, I want to grow an inch, and I've actually shrunk an inch since then. So there's that. But yeah, I'm 4'11". I haven't really done anything custom to my sleds. So I ride the Expert, the 165 Expert, and I find the seat on it is a low profile, so that worked for me right away. And then I actually ran into Kelsey Faye at the Edmonton Snow Show this year, And she's like, you have to change your bars, Ashley. And I was like, nope, not doing it. She's like, change your risers. I was like, nope, not doing it. I'm like, I stick with what I know and I don't like change. So she talked me into the Cheetah 29ers.
Yeah.
So I put those on. I'll try them this year. I definitely noticed a difference standing on it the other day, how much further in my hands are. So I'm excited to try that out. But other than that, the only thing I've ever changed on my sled is the GGB exhaust. I've put the trail can on.
Okay. So you have the new handlebars that you haven't rode yet. And then did you end up switching out your riser?
No, because the riser, I think they're like a 4 point something on the expert, so they're not super tall.
Right. Yeah. And I would say probably within, I don't know when Skidoo made that change because you're on the expert. But I remember like everything was like 8 inch plus, you know, risers. Yeah. And it was like, I think that's what caused my neck to seize up. I swear to God. But so that, I guess that's why I've always said like customize this, because we're not like 6 feet. We're not like the average height. We can't be riding something that's like not meant to fit us. So I do think that like Skidoo, Polaris, they have been listening to shorter riders. So they've definitely made a huge improvement. And that's cool that it already comes with a low profile seat. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I actually traded a guy on my 600. I traded him for an expert seat. I swapped it out and it made a huge difference. So you're not getting your boot all caught up when you're trying to transfer over and stuff.
100%. That was the biggest, like mind-blowing accessory for me was the seat.
Did you get it carved down then?
No, I got, so when I was on Skidoo, I got the extreme low profile seat by Skins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it made like a massive, massive difference. Even like I remember when I was doing drops at that time, just like I wasn't sitting on my seat, like, because naturally I just felt like I was falling back on it and it looked like I was sitting, but I wasn't, but it's just because the seat was right there.
Yeah.
So I remember my coaches being like, you're sitting. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
You get that often? People are like, man, how do you sit all day? I'm like, I'm standing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's funny. But I mean, we got to work with what we have. And I do think that's awesome, though, that you are like, yeah, like I'm going to ride this stock. I'm going to do a few things, but like, this is just how it is.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've adapted to it and it's comfortable. I can ride it. And then with going like the, obviously the newer, the Gen 4 to the Gen 5 was even a crazier change. So like, I feel like I don't have to use my body as much. I was just using my foot placement.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. These sleds are getting better and better every year.
Totally.
Okay. So we talked about snowmobile modifications. Have you done any modifications to your motorcycle?
It was, so the friend we bought it off of, it was done how I would do it. I just added a bit more black with the, pipes and stuff.
Okay.
I did have to change the clutch lever because it was super stiff. So that was one of the big things. And then we dropped it, 3 inches.
Nice. Okay.
So it's basically a rigid now with zero suspension, but it works for me. So whatever.
Totally. I'm so curious. Like I don't motorbike myself. I would love to one day, but I'm always curious to hear other people's setups because I wonder like, oh, what would I do? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the main thing. I wanted to be comfortable on it because it is a big bike. It's a 1200. Like I was aiming for a Honda Rebel 500 to start on just to get comfortable on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was like, you're going to upgrade in no time. Like you may as well just learn on the big bike and do it. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I pulled out my big dick energy. And I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that big dick energy.
So I got a sissy bar made for the back for luggage and stuff, but we actually used it as like a training pole. So in our driveway, it's a big enough spot in front of the shop I could do circles and practice. So I was trying to learn the clutch. And he's holding on to the bar, like guiding me, and I'm just hoping to God I'm not gonna gun it and take off on him.
Right.
There was a little, almost a mishap, but we
Okay.
got through it.
Okay.
Yeah, it took a lot of practice, just like even the confidence to get on the road and know what I was doing.
Oh, for sure. Well, just even learning, like you said, the clutch is a mental game for sure. It's like, when do I use it? How do I use it? So, you changed out the clutch because you said it was really stiff. Did you change it out to like an easier pull clutch?
It was something to do. Joe actually did it. I don't know what it was. It was just to soften it. So it was a small, like $400 part that went in, and it just made it easier to pull it.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then I've got the little shorties that it came like that.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got small hands too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little baby hands. Oh, that's awesome. totally. I actually want to ask about this is, so I listened to your interview with your friend who has a podcast, Wake Up with Jenny. And you talked about a 2-inch insert in your boot, or was it a 2-inch sole that you nailed onto your boot?
Those I actually got from Harley in Kelowna, and they just came like that. So they had somewhat of a, we call it a lift kit, but
okay,
it's
yeah.
just the wedge in it was tall enough that it worked perfectly for me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
that's
on the outside, it's like 1.5 inches, it looks like, but when I'm wearing it, it literally gives me like at least 2 inches.
Wow. So that's definitely gives you, yeah, a bit more height, even to like put a foot down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I was able to up the suspension by 1 inch, just because that gave me a little bit more to play with. Because, yeah, I was rubbing, like, last year I ended up losing my lights the one night because I had actually shredded the wiring harness with the tire because it kept hitting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a few things we've had to tweak out. But, yeah, as I got more confident, I was able to lift it up 1 more inch, and then
Yeah.
that's all I can really do for now.
Yeah.
The suspension sits like it should have some play, but it's like this.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I totally understand. And I mean, I know it's not exactly the same, but when I got my big girl bike, I dropped it almost 3 inches as well.
Oh, wow.
And I still was having such an issue with it. Like I couldn't touch. And then I was really looking into boots and seeing if I could get some type of platform for my boot. And I did find like these soles that you can glue on or something, but they don't make it in women's size. They only make it for men's sizing. So anyways.
So those go on the outside of the boot?
Yeah. They're like a sole, like an extra sole that goes underneath the boot.
A legit lift kit.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was like, oh my God, how, you know, it just, I feel like it would have made life a lot better. I don't know how the shifting would be though, if I would really have to point my foot down to like click up the clutch. Yeah, clutch, or oh my God, what is it? Yeah, to switch the gears.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, just overall, like once I got my confidence and then I was feeling better, and then I lifted it 1 inch. So now it sits at 2 inches.
Nice.
But
so
yeah,
when you ride, do you ride flat foot or do you prefer to be super tippy toed?
I don't like being tippy toed. But you know what I've done, or what I've been doing, is I search on the ground to find holes so that I can put my dirt bike into a hole, and then I can make sure that my foot's sitting higher, a little bit higher, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm on the trail, I'll find like a log that I can put my foot down rather than being like flat or trying to touch the ground, because sometimes the ground's uneven. So
Totally.
if there is a hole that I try to put my foot down, I'm done. Like I'm gone. I fall over. So it's all like, for me, it's like searching where I can place my feet.
Yeah.
So takes a little bit of time, I guess, but.
It does, yeah.
But
I
yeah.
People just lean to the right side. I'm like, I don't want to dump the bike.
I was going to say, I just feel like with your bike, like, do you know the weight of it?
Honestly, it's got to be over 500 pounds. But I just find it's really front end heavy because it's got that fat wide tire. So yeah, certain times, like if I'm not ready to put my feet down, I'll kind of like wobble a bit. But yeah, no, it's heavy. I find it heavy for sure. And being shorter, it doesn't help either.
No, because again, we have no leverage, but
Yeah.
that's a bike that you definitely don't want to be picking up. So I feel you, you know, like
No.
if that bike's down, like
Yeah.
it's down.
I actually did. I did let it go down the one time. It wasn't anything bad or crazy, but when it's not warm enough, it dies. So we took off, and I had Sloane on the back in her little Saddleman carrier, and she's got her goggles and her helmet, love and life. And it decided to die when I went to take off at the stop sign just down the road. So it kind of went pew, and it tilted over, but I've got the crash bars. So it just tilted over so far, and then it sits there. So Sloane went with it, and she was just kind of hanging like this, and then waited for me to bring her back up. And I was like, this dog trusts me with her life, and I just did that to her.
Okay, those crash guards, they
Yeah,
saved you.
yeah,
That's
totally.
awesome.
I have them on the back, just two little pegs that come out the back behind the seat, and then the front is down below your feet.
Do you have any photos of your bike and like with Sloan on it and stuff that I can share?
I think so. I have one of like a video of us riding. I can snap a
Oh,
picture of it.
perfect. Okay, I'll add that into this video. I would love to see that. Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome that you
Love
can.
it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's awesome that you can take your pups with you.
Yeah.
Can you? So you have three dogs, actually,
Yeah.
correct? So can you take all three of them?
The other two are not trustworthy.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, we thought Briggs, the second one, was going to be, but she's got some triggers, so I don't trust that she would just casually sit there. Sloane is like a stage five clinger. She always has to be with me, so she doesn't care what we're doing ever. And then the youngest one, Wren, I think she would be okay. We just didn't get to that point because she was too young. So, yeah.
Aw, cute. I can picture I can picture you getting one of those like side carts with all the dogs, like once maybe if they, you know, are able
Totally.
to go in there. That would be so cool if you could
That would
get
be me
one.
as an old lady, just tote my dogs around in
Totally. And then but have it like up almost like a bubble, like enclosed so that they couldn't.
There was a guy actually we ran into across the lake. I think it was last summer. He had that set up on the back, so he towed it, and it was a trailer, and it was custom painted, like gorgeous paint, matched his bike. And the dog had a dome bubble, and he could open the bubble, and the dog would pop his head out, and he'd just ride down the highway. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
That is so cool. Oh, I
Yeah.
love that. Oh, really cool. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm really excited that we were able to talk about all of that stuff. So thanks for sharing. We're gonna shift gears and we're gonna talk about the heart condition that you've, I guess, have been living with for a very long time. And I want to, yeah, dive in about that. So we work together on a story. So you wrote up a story for Brat Babes magazine, volume 5, and that was a few years ago. So I'm going to post an image on the video here. And yeah, I want to know a little bit more. Are you able to explain what this means and how long you've had it and some of the challenges and setbacks that you have had?
It's so I have congenital heart disease, meaning you're born with it, so it's a lifelong thing. What I had, I was born with a ASD. So the best way I can explain it is like where it separates, there was two holes. And then I had a hole in the mitral valve as well. So they patched that when I was a year old. They figured it all out when I was about 6 months. I just never really ate, and I was tube fed, and then I ended up getting really sick. So at a year, I had the surgery to patch it over. And then once I was healthy enough and big enough, they did the mechanical mitral valve replacement when I was 7. So like I vividly remember everything about every surgery. They went in and they did the surgery, and there was like a 4% chance anything could happen with like nerve damage and stuff. And it did happen. So I went into complete heart block. So the bottom part of my heart basically doesn't work on its own. So they gave it seven, I think it was like 7 days, and I was hooked up to an external pacemaker. So it was like a box thing that sat beside my bed. I just remember it looking like the old school furnace style in your house. And it had wires coming out, and they went into my chest, like all throughout the bottom. So yeah, they decided to put in a permanent one, which I'm now dependent on. And then I've had two open heart surgeries for that, and then I've had four pacemaker surgeries for replacements, and then they replaced the leads as well.
That's insane. Oh my goodness. And just being a small child. And so you just going through that over and over. And it's just something that just happens. Like it ha you have to go through it.
Totally. Like I remember I was in dance. I used to dance, so I did tap dancing, and I did compete and stuff, and I was always in competitions, and the girls that I danced with were 2 years older than me. And I remember it got to a point where it was like I was getting out of school in grade one, and people were giving me gifts, and everyone's like, "Oh, good luck, good luck." And I'm kind of like, "What the fuck's going on?" And then yeah, I went in for the surgery, and I think I was there a few weeks at least. And then came home, and things definitely changed as like being a kid and then going to school and people being like, "What's wrong with you?" But the people I hung out with always knew me as that, so it wasn't like it was weird. But yeah, kids definitely were assholes.
Oh yeah, it doesn't make things easier, that's for sure. Jeez.
So yeah, growing up, I don't know, I never really held back. My parents didn't hold me back at all. My dad was like, you're gonna play baseball, you're gonna do this, and he goes snowmobiling and kind of acted as if nothing really changed. Like obviously I had limits and stuff, but it wasn't like I was being hidden from the world and I couldn't do anything.
Oh my gosh, I was actually going to ask what the dynamic would be with having parents seeing their daughter go through this, like if there was limitations, if they set some boundaries for you. But it sounds like you weren't put in a bubble and you could still do what you wanted to
No,
do.
like my mom definitely bubble wrapped me. She was more on edge and like, "Oh no, you can't do that." And she's still like that, but she understands, like, I know what I can and can't do. I think it's mostly just fear of like what could happen, or you never know.
100%. And just I guess I can relate to your mom because I would be the exact same with my daughters. So, oh man, well, that's I don't know, I just find that your journey, your story to be so fascinating and inspiring. And I know you've have been doing some fundraisers and stuff like that, but it wasn't until just recently, maybe a few years ago, that you've started to was it like participating or advocating for congenital heart disease?
Yeah, I've been advocating the last couple years for sure. Going through my teens and stuff, I dealt with a lot of high anxiety and I never knew what it was. And then it just got to the point where it was like a really dark depression because I didn't know what I was going through. And no one could really tell me anything other than pump me full of medication. And then I just felt like a zombie. So I became super reliant on Ativan. And then just started taking it every day to function like all day to the point of like go to the pharmacy and be like, "I have one pill left. I need you to fill this right now." Like, yeah, it was not good. And then, so my husband has definitely helped me a lot with that kind of stuff. When I met him, I was 19 and I was going through a really, really bad phase. He had gone through the help and done stuff himself with like anxiety and depression. So he's definitely led me in the right direction, and then I was able to do all the self-help and figure out what I needed. But honestly, up until this last year is where I've actually seen change in myself, where I'm like actually figuring it out and knowing my boundaries and where basically I'm trying to save the energy I have every day and not put it out there to anyone or anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been, I've noticed a huge difference in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whoa. I just, again, just so thankful that you're sharing this story. And I'm so happy that you found the support to help you navigate through this. And like you said, with the self-help, I believe that we all should be doing self-help and becoming better than who we were yesterday, every single day. So it sounds like, yeah, you've been on a really great path. And
yeah.
I don't want to say finding your purpose, but like you're, you know, you're such a great representative for like advocating for health, heart health, you know, like.
I just find it's not out there enough. Like it's a super common disease and people just aren't aware of how or why. Like most of the time it just happens. You're just born with it. There's no rhyme or reason.
Totally.
Like
And
on my side, there's nobody that has heart conditions.
Yeah. Okay.
Thing. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That no, it wasn't hereditary or anything. It was just.
No, totally random.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think these types of conversations need to happen more and spread awareness about it as well. And
totally.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because there wasn't much support growing up. Like there was no support for me as the patient. It was kind of like, hey, we fixed her, send her home, she'll carry on kind of thing.
Right.
And it's still like that. But even for the parents, like I think my parents went to one group meeting kind of thing and that was it. So like my goal now is to be that support for the patients or for the families going through being like, hey, I've been there. This is what I dealt with. This is what I think you should do moving forward just so that you don't, like it doesn't consume you because it consumes you.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. I can see that. So are there programs, like have you been able to volunteer or work with, I don't know if it's like BC Health or anything like that to help families?
No, I've kind of just done it on my own or through people
Okay.
I know where I've met people and they're like, oh, my daughter, my son's going through this. Like what were your experiences kind of thing?
Right.
So basically just word of mouth. But I've been attending a cardiac rehab program since last March. So
Okay.
we've been trying to figure out the last couple of years what's been going on because I've had new symptoms and just like no energy and stuff.
Yeah.
So meeting people through there, they're like, oh, why are you here? Like you're young. Did you have a heart attack? And the one guy's like, did you go have a heart attack or something? And I'm like, no, I have this, this, and this. And they're like, oh my God. So I've been able to like share my stories through that too. And then it's actually surprising. They're like, oh, my family member so-and-so has had this. And yeah, people just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So, word of mouth, people are reaching you word of mouth. And,
a lot
do
of
you
just
find,
online.
yeah, just online.
Yeah. Just Instagram.
Yeah. I was going to ask if that's how people are finding you.
Yeah, there's like a whole heart community. And then as it kind of branches off, it's like it goes kind of to different things.
Okay. Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so, well, it's cool that you
Yeah.
are influencing, inspiring people. But it's just like, yeah, such a wild journey that you've been on. And again, super grateful, honored that you're sharing that story with us. And I want to know if there is any type of like, are you working with a coach or a rehab specialist to kind of help with things?
Yeah, I've been working with specialists. Like I've had a cardiologist my whole life and then
Okay.
I work with a family doctor. Unless other things arise. Like I've got respirology coming up, different people trying to figure out kind of what's going on. I've seen like the electrophysiology guy
Okay.
to see if it was maybe the electrical part of the heart.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of just been a guessing game the last 2.5 years, which has been really exhausting, but they're trying. It's just, I'm not textbook. Never
Yeah.
have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
And
I go to the coach program.
say that again.
The coach program. It's a cardiac rehab program. So
Okay.
it's a nonprofit. They've actually funded me since last March because I haven't been working the construction job that I was doing. So they've funded me since March, and I'm actually done there next Thursday, which is going to be so sad because it's like totally become a family. I go twice a week and you meet everyone, and I've seen lots of people come and leave and they progress and stuff. I just didn't really progress as much as we hoped for or I hoped for. But I'm going to move on to their next phase of it and start doing some other work. So we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely. And just recently, you did have a surgery to put in another, I don't know the, sorry for my ignorance. I don't know the, is it a pacemaker?
Yeah,
And
it's come to the end of the life, so it had to be replaced.
I see. And then so how is the healing journey from that going?
It was very rough. It did not go as planned, for what should be pretty basic surgery. Most people are in and out in a day when they get the new one implanted, but this was my fourth one, so there was a ton of scar tissue and stuff. So they had to cut through all that and the muscle. And I knew right away, like before I even left the hospital, I'm like, something is not right.
Oh,
It was
shit.
just so uncomfortable, and I was heavily medicated. So I ended up going for lunch at the pub that day, like literally left. It was 3 hours after surgery, and I was like, yeah, let's go for lunch. And Joe's like, what? So my family met us all there, and we had lunch. And then that night, it was game over. The next day, back. And then I ended up in there for 8 nights on some pretty heavy painkillers.
Oh, geez.
Because I ended up getting a hematoma. So this was all pretty swollen. And then I was black and blue, and it ended up going all the way down to my waist and across my chest this way, which lasted about, it was over a month.
And so what did they do to treat it or?
There was talk of doing surgery that second night to get rid of it, but because I'm on blood thinners, that's pretty risky. So I probably would have just bled again. So yeah, I lost quite a bit of blood with that over the time. But luckily, I'm actually really glad they didn't do surgery because I think I would have gotten an infection. And if I get infection, it's game over.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So yeah, it sounds like it's been a little bit of a rough patch there.
Yeah, and then the healing and stuff, like I still get like shooting pain across my chest or like your stitches are ripping open. I get that sensation up in this area too. So yeah, I've just been trying to do lots of stretching and keeping it moving because I did get to the frozen shoulder stage where I actually couldn't move it, and they were like, uh-oh.
And so you find like the stretching, the movements, it's helping.
Yeah, and then I use the hot tub too. I do it in there, so I find it's loose and I'm not able to feel it as much.
Oh, that's great. Have you, I don't know if you're like into cold plunges. I don't know if your doctor would.
I've seen it's trending now. I'm actually intrigued.
Are you okay? I like want to stay away from that, but I was just wondering if that's something that because I have or I've heard of a lot of benefits from it, but just curious if that's something that maybe could help with your healing process in a way. I'm not really
I
sure.
find heat works better than cold just because cold tends to make
Tense up.
everything tense up. So I've always done heat for everything.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I'm the same. I personally am rather heat than cold. Well, I wanted to ask, since we're on this topic, is because you are a sledder, and sledding has got to be one of the hardest sports out there. It's interesting you picked sledding, but you know, it's naturally like I just feel like that's who you are. Like you're a go-getter, like you have that spark. But I want to know, have you found a way to pace yourself with the sport?
I really struggled the last couple of years just since I've been like struggling health-wise. Because it's like, oh, well, I could be doing this and I should be doing this by now, but I do feel held back because I get so tired. So like, I don't know, even digging the sled out, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a nap now. So I've had a lot of support with people I ride with. They're like, don't bother. Like, well, we got it. We got you. They take care of me out there. But I definitely feel like I'm held back for sure. So I'm not setting any goals this year because I feel like that'll just set me up mentally for failure. I just get out and
Enjoy it.
just get out. Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah,
Not
absolutely.
feel that I have to do certain things because that doesn't tend to work out for me because I am a this is what I'm doing and I'm going to do it kind of person. So.
For sure. I think I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And would you say you put a lot of pressure on yourself to like be, And I'm sure, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm sure social media doesn't help either, seeing or like comparing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I like compared to like other riders and stuff.
Yeah, or just seeing like what other people are doing, I guess for me it's like, oh, well, they're riding this, like I should be doing that too, or I've been riding for so long, why can't I do that? Why can't I figure it out? Or like, it's just like the hamster wheel of like,
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I mostly compare myself to like where I was and where I am now. And I feel like I've gone down this slope and I'm just like sitting here. So I tend to not really compare, like, because I know I can't do what other people do. Been like that. So I've always known to just do things at my own pace where I set sometimes unrealistic goals. And I'm like, yeah, this year I'm gonna like take a sweet jump and catch mega air. And then I'm gonna do bow ties. Like, no, Ashley, that's not gonna happen. I wish, but I just know that I'm not capable of that right now. So,
I think having the mindset of just like, let's just get out, let's have fun, no pressure. I just want to be out here, I think
totally.
that's the right, and it should be that type of mentality or that mindset when we do go out, is to
Yeah,
enjoy it.
totally. I know a lot of people go out and they're like, oh, we got to hit these specific spots because it's crazy terrain and stuff like that. But I don't know. I've never done that just because you never know how the day's going to go. So just wing it, go with it.
And I want to actually touch on your riding crew. You said you have a pretty supportive crew. Would you say that that's kind of what keeps you going? Like, if you get stuck, are they right there to help you like instantly?
And Joe is constantly watching. So we have like, well, we have the Trail Tech Voyager on our sleds with the buddy beacon. So he's like, if you're stuck, hit the button and I'll come find you. Yeah. No, he's really good. He's super supportive and like totally understands. And I don't know, I feel for him too because like I don't even know like looking at it from my perspective, it's like I've grown up with this. This is all I know. But then being with somebody that has all this, it's like, how the hell do they even cope? Yeah. Like I know it does. It gets to him too. He doesn't miss it, but yeah.
Do you guys get to ride together quite often?
Yeah, we only ever ride together.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, we're always out together. I think the only time, well, he does his couple guy trips a season. And then usually I have ladies rides those weekends. So yeah, other than that, no, we go out, we ride the motorbikes together too.
Oh, I love that. Oh, he sounds like such a special guy.
He is. He puts up with all my shit.
As they should. No. Oh, he sounds great. All right. So you did talk a little bit about your struggles, but I just am curious if there's anything else that you feel that you're kind of struggling or something that's challenging when it does come to your sports.
Okay, so the one thing I really struggle with is when the sled is dipping down the hill and you got to go up this way, and that lever is way down there. I can't reach it.
Okay. I guarantee you those bars are going to help.
Yeah, because I'm like, how do people do this?
So
And I get so frustrated.
So you mean when you're going downhill and you want to do a shit hook or J hook going up?
Going up, but say you're going down and it like sloughs out, and then you're kind of stuck on that hillside facing down, and you need to make sure you crank it up and go, but it's at a standstill. So if you don't, that thing's going to keep going way down the bank side.
Right. Okay, so I'm just trying to picture it. So, and then you would obviously counter steer.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm
So
counter steering.
you gotta be able to reach, counter steer, pull it, and make sure you got enough momentum to
Totally.
pick it up.
Yeah. Sorry, if you're watching here, we're just trying to like mimic the moves. Yeah.
Yeah.
I struggle for sure doing any type of like turn ups when it comes to like getting myself out of a sticky situation, and I stop because I'm like panic mode. What do I do here? And then to like get that sled on side to like go back up, it's hard. Like that's just a hard maneuver in itself.
Yeah, I struggle with that because I tend to get myself in those predicaments often.
Yeah. Report back and let me know how those handlebars go, because I think that would, if they're closer, you know, it's maybe more of a better reach for you when you do come back up, maybe.
I'm hoping so, yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing. And just to kind of go back to with the heart condition, do you have any tips and tricks that you can give women who may be dealing with a similar heart condition?
I would say obviously check with your physician and make sure you're capable of exercising and all that, and just know your limits. Like, people are going to tell you what you can and can't do. The doctor's going to tell you what you can and can't do, but you know your body. So if you feel that you can do it at your own pace, do it.
100%.
I don't know. I'm not the type to be like, no, you should just sit on the couch and not do anything now because you have this. No.
I love that about you, to be
Yeah.
honest. Like that you, yeah, again, you're super inspiring, because it's like you're not letting anything, you're not letting life like hinder you or set you like give you boundaries. Like you're just like, no, this is what I'm doing, and I know my body. And I'm curious, actually, do you have any like, I always found like gut feelings. Do you get those where it's like, okay, this doesn't feel good, or, you know, the confidence, like, okay, actually, I can do that. Like, do you have like, I guess, intuition?
Yeah, all the time. That's honestly what I go by. Yeah,
Awesome.
and just like trying to stay positive. Like, if you say you can't do it, then you're not going to do it.
The I can't. I'm
Yeah.
bad for that sometimes. But learning.
Yeah, it's a learning curve.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we're gonna shift gears into sledding. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. I want to know, what do you have planned for this winter season?
I'm just winging it, honestly. I have no plans.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like if we like start planning it out, like it's just so much pressure into like having to do the thing. So, oh, that's awesome. And I'm just curious, for your schedule, for you and Joe, do you guys usually ride during the weekends, or do you do weekdays?
Yeah, it depends. Like, if during the week, if we're able to, we'll go out during the week. Yeah, usually on weekends.
And then we talked about this already, but the social ride, women's social ride, is February 24th. There's a poker run January 27th, was it? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. And then, so tell us the process of what you do mentally to get prepared for a big day of sledding.
Safety is my number one thing. So basically, I act as if I'm going to be stranded up there.
Okay. That's a good
So yeah, just make sure you got all the safety stuff, water, food, snacks, stuff to keep warm. I personally pack a lot of tampons because if you get stranded, you can dump them in your gas tank and light them on fire as a fire starter.
Yes, I love that trick.
Yeah.
I remember I told our snowmobile club, or club dealership a while ago, like 6 years ago, about that trick. And they started selling tampons in their safety kits.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So they like added all these tampons in there. It's like, that's great. It's great. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So awesome. And what do you do for self-care after sledding?
Usually hot bath, but we have a hot tub now. So hot tub for sure.
Yeah. Hot tubs are nice.
The must.
Yeah. And do you have any other hobbies outside of your sports?
I've always loved taking photos. So I've done lots of photography and stuff over the years for fun. I started playing around with sublimation printing. Joe was away working last year. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take up a new hobby. And I started just creating random stuff in Photoshop that was like quite vulgar. Because that's kind of fits my personality. So people are like, how do you get away with making this kind of stuff? And I was like, I don't know, people love it. So yeah, I make it for friends and family, and they love it.
Yeah, actually, which is like my next topic is I want to talk about your entrepreneurial heart.
Yeah.
Because you and I are very similar, I feel like. So you're a photographer. You've been diving into videography too. I've seen a few of your videos that you've
Yeah,
been
I put a
editing.
few videos together.
Yeah, they're great. And then a maker crafter. So tell us a little bit about that, what your businesses are called, if you have multiple, and where can we find your stuff?
I do my photography. I call it Yeah Boy Productions. Actually, it came from one day we were sledding and Joe was filming me, and I did like, this was like probably 4 years ago. I took this little like jump and I came up and I was like, yeah, boy, did you see that? It was on film, and since that day we just blocked it. He's like, that thing was so small, but yeah, good job. I was so proud. And so yeah, I've called my photography Yeah Boy Productions just because of that reason. And then yeah, I'm hoping one day I can build everything.
Okay, so Yeah Boy, you were just talking about the video that. Do you still have that video?
Oh, it would be way back in the archives. I'd have to dig deep for it.
Dig deep because I want to see it.
I pulled up and I was like, yeah, boy.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that you use that for your business name.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so that's your photography, and you're still doing a little bit of photography now, right?
Yeah, I've just been doing stuff like locally if somebody wants photos or something like that, but nothing crazy. Yeah, I've been laying pretty low, so.
Yeah. And then, okay, so, and then you've been doing a little bit of videography for like the snowmobile clubs that you've been, like some of the social rides that you've been putting on and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just shoot little clips and kind of throw them together.
Yeah. Do you find, like, what do you like better, photography or videography?
I like videos just because I feel like it tells more of a story, where a photo is just like a still photo. Photos you can keep and like put them on the wall and stuff, and that's cool. But I like videos just for like the storytelling purpose.
Yes. Yeah,
You
I'm
can
the
be
exact
super creative with it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you're really good at creating the vibe, like creating the storytelling and that sort of thing. So definitely keep
Thank
up with
you.
it, because I love, I don't know, the video that you put out. I know I watched it a while ago, probably after your social ride. I'm just trying to jog my memory here, but I was like, damn, Ashley, that was good. I don't know. Did you get some drone shots in there too?
Yeah, I had a drone. I bought a drone and I was so excited. I used it not very many times last year because it was so cold and snowing.
Right.
And then I went to shoot some stuff for a friend this summer and I drowned it in the lake. So it's gone.
No. No.
Yeah.
That's the worst news.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sad. It was like there was a death on the lake and then everyone's like, wah. I'm like, guys, it's fine. It's replaceable at some point.
That is true. That is true. But
yeah.
Such a bummer.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not investing in that anytime soon. That was pricey.
Yeah, do you mind asking like what brand and how much it was?
It was the Skydio. I had the full package, so I think it
Is
was
that,
like,
I was gonna say, is that the one where it tracks you?
yeah. And
Okay.
now they went commercial, so you can't buy them anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I was looking at this other one. I can't remember the brand, but Joe went crazy and was kind of went down a rabbit hole of drones. And this other one, you can actually goes in the water and then it flips over and then it comes back out and you can actually like catch fish and stuff with it. It's crazy. But they're like, I want to say it was like 6 grand. And I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
I sure do love, though, a good bird's eye view.
Totally.
Yeah.
The different angles, or when it's following you up the hillside and it's kind of beside you.
Probably because you don't see that very often. I mean, now we're in an age where we see it a lot more, but yeah, I don't know. I love it. It's such a unique perspective.
Yeah, versus that head-on shot all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, tell me about your vulgar business. I want to know more.
Oh. I started making cups for friends and family and they loved it. So I'm hoping one day I can have like a big e-commerce
Yeah.
store online and have a big business out of it.
What is it
Thinking,
called?
I just call it vulgar art.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Okay, so you talked about sublimation, but do you have like, I guess you have the printer and you have the heat press.
Yeah, so it's like a specific printing process. So the printer and the ink is for sublimation. So it prints out and it looks like a normal printed picture, but it's faded. So when you put it in the heat press, it actually heats it up and turns the ink to gas, which then fuses into the substrate, which would be like the mug or a shirt or something like that.
Okay, I was going to ask if you
Yeah.
do clothing as well.
I don't know. I've had
Okay.
people ask, like I used to do vinyl on clothing, but I'd rather make stuff that's gonna last. So
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
still trying to figure out best quality and all that right now. So I've just been playing around with it.
Yeah, speaking of, I actually think you bought one of the
Oh,
jackets,
the
the
original
Brat
Brat Babe
Babes, yeah, the
jacket. Yeah.
original, the original Brat Babes like camo jacket,
Yeah.
and I loved them, and then all of a sudden they start peeling,
Yeah.
and I was devastated. Like I sunk so much money into those, and then everything just started peeling, and I used to work in a print shop. I used to manage a print shop, so I know better, but. From what this company I was working with, they're like, "Oh, it's fine, it's fine." And I was like, "Well, are you sure?" Let they promised me like the world, and then it all went to poop. So,
Oh no.
anyways, yeah. So I still have like PTSD from, and that's why like I don't want to do vinyl anything anymore. Like I rather do the sublimation or screen
Totally.
printing, and then that way I'd never have to deal with that again.
Yeah, I've been reading about screen printing, and that seems like it's the best way to go for quality and lasting and all that. And
Yeah.
then there's the DTF transfers too, which I'm not super familiar
Ooh,
with, but.
I'm not familiar with that either.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, I love all like vinyl. I love creating. Do you use like Illustrator or just Photoshop?
Just Photoshop.
Photoshop, okay. And do you have like a plotter or Cricut?
No, I was looking at the plotters, but I'm just like, I'm still trying to figure everything out, and yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's just
Yeah.
another expense too, if
Totally.
yeah. And so with the vulgar art, do you have a website or is that something that you're going to be working on?
No, that'll be in the future.
Yeah. But you've
Yeah.
been doing some markets.
Yeah, I did a couple little markets. It's nothing crazy. And
Okay.
then yeah, just kind of feeling it out, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so awesome. I mean, yeah, I love your stuff. And I think that it's something that a lot of people get a good laugh at.
Don't have My one mug, it was like my OG mug, and it
Oh.
said more gagging, less nagging. And the amount of people that were like, what the fuck, Ashley? And I was like, what? People love it.
Yeah,
It's like the most
absolutely.
popular.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. So if somebody were to order something, do they just hit you up?
They can just contact me through Instagram or whatever.
Okay. And
Yeah.
are you selling anything like in local stores near Kelowna or in Kelowna?
No.
Yeah, that's
No.
I wonder if it would be a little bit of a harder sell or like if it would offend people. I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just got to find your like there. It's yeah, like when you're putting your thoughts on mugs, people are like, "Oh yeah, I think that every day." I'm like, and that's why I've created this image for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
So
awesome.
yeah, one day it'll be big.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep up with I know like the markets. It's something that I used to do when I did my wall deco business. And I remember, yeah, doing a lot of markets, and that's how I grew my business, and then I was able to like make a website and that sort of thing and sell my wall
Yeah.
deco business or wall decals online. But what really helped me was the markets.
Oh, interesting.
So actually something I wanted to talk about was your Bionic Babe style logo, the lifestyle logo. And I just think it speaks so much volume. It's definitely you and represents you to a T. Can you tell us a little bit about this brand shift and what you plan on doing with it?
So I had a vision to start this brand, basically starting it with just some t-shirts and stuff. And then the money that was made from it would go back into the coach program that I was attending. So I reached out to Dweeb Designs at Aurora Tattoo there in Canmore. And I basically said, here's my ideas. Can you make this image? And I felt like it was a lot to go into one image, but he definitely killed it. So yeah, I'm gonna put it on shirts and stuff for now, and then I do have some big ideas in the future. I don't know when I'm going to announce it, but I will say that it'll have to do with the motorcycle community and the snowmobile community. So
So
yeah,
exciting. Oh, I can't
and
wait to see.
it's not like a specific brand. Like the motto is no matter what. So Bionic Babe Lifestyle, no matter what. Basically, get out there. Do what you can, enjoy what you do, no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, I
Yeah.
love that. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Okay, so you're selling these shirts. Where can one buy a shirt?
Just hit me up on Instagram.
Okay.
I'll do like kind of pre-order type stuff and then get them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then yeah, for those that are listening, I will put Ashley's Instagram link so that you guys can definitely hit her up. For any of her art and for her Bionic Babe lifestyle t-shirts. Very exciting. I can't wait to hear more.
I know, I'm super excited.
You don't know when you're gonna announce it.
I don't.
Okay. Okay.
No,
Well,
I don't.
I'll just like keep my eyes peeled for
Okay.
yeah, okay. Looking forward to it. Okay, so if you were to whisper in the ear of young Ashley, what would you tell her?
Basically, go with your gut and don't let anybody else tell you what you can and can't do. Because I
Amazing.
felt like I was told that a lot when I was young, like, no, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. And as I grew and realized like what I had gone through and what I would be doing lifelong, I don't know, I just feel like nobody should really hold themselves back. Like I feel like I've accomplished a lot of stuff in my life that most people probably haven't,
Oh my God, 100%. Yeah.
and like there's no excuse why you can't really.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Any advice for women with congenital? Did I say that right? Congenital. Okay. Any advice for women with congenital heart disease that are getting into the sport?
Call me. No. I would just say go with what you're comfortable with. Obviously, don't overdo it, and find your group of people that understand your health risks and what you're dealing with. Make sure that they would be able to save you if an event were to happen on the mountain. That's kind of my one big thing. I go with people that I trust. If something were to happen cardiac wise, they would know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A quote you live by.
No matter what.
Love it. All right. And what's on your bucket list? I'm so curious.
I don't know. I've actually never really thought of that. I just want to go to Vegas.
You've never been.
No.
Awesome.
No. I've only ever been to Florida and then like places around Canada. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny how you and I are very similar or so much alike. Because I never ventured outside of Canada. I think
No,
the
like
furthest I went was
Mexico,
Florida.
but.
Yeah, I'm the exact same. Like Florida, and like I finally went to Mexico when I first had Stella, which, was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not like one to be like, oh, I really want to go here. Like the Philippines would be cool, but I'm not super huge into traveling.
Yeah,
I just like
I'm
having
the
fun.
yeah, the adventure, the thrill, the excitement of like, I don't know, doing something fun. Yeah.
Yeah, like for me, I'd rather like hop on the bike and just go ride and see where we end up. Versus being like, hey, we're gonna go here for a month and here for a month. It's gonna be tropical. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the exact same. And actually, because you talked about hopping on the bike and traveling, do you do any like excursions or not excursions, but like any trips on your motorbike?
Like long trips? No, it's not that comfortable to do a long trip.
That's fair.
And I find it really tiring. Like when you're riding, you got to take breaks and stuff. So no, we've gone on day trips where it's like a half a day or something like that, but nothing where we're like riding to Alberta or another province. Maybe in the future, but right now, no.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. All right. And where can we find you on socials?
I'm on Instagram as Ashley Bionic. And then Facebook, just Ashley McKillop.
Okay, cool. And that comes to the end of my questions, but I do have a fast, like rapid fire questions that I want you to pick and choose which one.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. So number one, thumb throttle or finger throttle? J hooks or wrong foot forward?
Wrong foot forward.
Wheelie or donuts?
Donuts.
Weekend warrior or weekday slayer?
Weekday slayer.
Is it to beat the crowds?
Yeah.
That's fair. Sledding or just riding your motorcycle?
Oh, that's a hard one. Maybe sledding because I can do more on it.
Absolutely. All right, and that's the end of my rapid fire questions.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing so much with me. I really do appreciate it. And I just, again, I'm so in awe of you and your story. And I just appreciate you sharing it with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sorry about the interruptions and
That's okay.
all
My
that
dogs are still
stuff.
sniffing under the door.
All right. Awesome. Well, I loved our chat. Thank you so much again. And yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Bye, Ashley.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.